Chavzayin Amid Beis, four lines into the wide lines. Four lines into the wide lines. Well, right before Divik Shiv Lishayfis Pasul. Okay, the Mishnah said it then that if somebody joined with glue, they glued the various parts of the shayfa together because it because it broke, so then it's possible. So Tan Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned Haysif Olav Kosho. Somebody added any amount to the shayfar, they added any material to the shayfar. Bain b'mine, whether it's its own kind. Meaning, something of a material of a shayfar itself. Bain shalei b'mine, whether it's not the material of the shayfar, like a patch or whatever. So then the din is possible. It's possible. Why is it possible? Because now it's coming, the sound is coming from two shayfaris rather than one. Because coming from the shayfar plus the added part. Then the Gemara says, Nikavis Sasme, what happened if there was a hole? Not that the shayfar was two pieces and you glued it. There was a hole in the shayfar and you sealed the hole. So Bain Bemina, whether it's with its own material. Bain Shalei Bemina, it's also possible. Why? Because again, it's not bottled to the shayfar. And therefore it's like a second piece of shayfar. So Gemara says, Rabnasin says, no. Bemina, if you sealed it with the material of the shayfar itself, then kosher, it's kosher. Shalei bemina, pasul. Shalei bemina, then it's pasul. Okay? Now, as we're going to learn, okay, the Gemara is going to say, but so the Gemara says, now, bemina, kosher, Rabnasin said, if it's with its own min, it's kosher. So Amir Rabbi Yechon said though, v'nishtaya rubei, provided that the majority of the shayfar is the original shayfar, then what you're filling it up with is only a minority, so it's bottle. And because min b'minai, in the same kind, becomes bottle. But shalei b'minai, and if it's not with the same sealant of the shayfar, afal pishin nishtaya rubei, even though the majority of the shayfar is still there, it's bottle. So he says, why? Because number one, three conditions are met. The majority of the shayfar has to be the same. Secondly, it has to be a shofar-like material. And it comes back to the original voice of the shayfar. If it becomes the original voice of the shayfar, then it's okay. Now the Gemara says, Ikad Mastal is safe. Some people learn Rabbi Yechonin's statement and the sefer, the end of the mission. What does it say at the end of the Braisa mean? It said, Shalei b'minei pasul, if it's not in the same kind, meaning it's not the same material as the shayfar. Pasul, Amar b'echna b'echna said, v'ushenifches rubei. When is it pasul? Only if the majority of the shayfar is missing. Mechlal, so we see from there, the b'minei, if it's sealed with its own kind, afal b'shenifches rubei, even though the majority of the shayfar is the sealant, not the original shayfar kosher, which is much different than the first opinion. The first opinion says, even b'minei, if it's the same material, it's kosher, only if it's a small amount. But if it's a larger amount, it's pasul. The second opinion says it's the opposite. That if it's the majority of the shayfar, even if it's the majority of the shayfar, if it's its own min that seals it, then it's kosher anyway. Okay, there's a whole argument what the halacha is. Then the Braisa continues and says as follows. Suppose, Zohav mi bifnim, if somebody plated the shayfar inside, that means inside the shayfar, they plated it with gold. So now when you blow the shayfar, the sound is going through the gold rather than through the shayfar. So it's possible. Mi bachutz, what happened if you plated the shayfar on the outside? So lochere, now when you blow the shayfar, the sound is coming through the shayfar itself, not through the gold. So the Braisa says, "Im nishtana kele k'me shaya." If the voice of the shayfar changed from what it was before it was plated, because sometimes even if you plate it on the outside, it changes the voice of the shayfar. So then, possible. Then it's possible. Vimlav, and if not, kosher. So in other words, there's two inyanim over here. The voice has to come from the shofar, number one. Therefore, if you plated it inside with gold, it's no good, because the voice is coming through the gold, not through the shofar. And secondly, you need the original voice of the shofar. So if you plated it on the outside, and that caused the voice to change, it's also no good. It's also not kosher.
How do you know?
How do you know the voice changed?
Well, because you blew it before. Obviously, then you knew it blew it before, and you blow it now.
The shofar has a certain sound. If it comes out like...
Well, we're going to learn in the Gemara soon. The Gemara says any sound of the shofar is kosher. If it's a hoarse sound, a feeble sound, you know, I mean, as long as it's the voice of the shofar, it's kosher. Huh. But the Gemara says
they make a bigger sound, and some people don't make.
Some people blow a higher pitch, a lower pitch. Some people blow a clearer sound, not a clearer sound.
Yeah.
The halacha is that the voice has to be the original voice, even if it's a hoarse voice, a feeble, a weak voice, whatever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So obviously, the only way you can know if the voice changed, if you blew it before and you blow it now.
Yeah, that's
the same person. Okay, so now the Gemara says, the Braita continues and says as follows: if the voice changes, kosher. I'm a apostle. Vimlav, if the voice doesn't change, meaning it's still the original voice of the shofar, so then it's kosher. So now the Braita continues and says, Nistak la'orkei. What happens if the shofar was split on the length of the shofar? Okay, so now the width, we're going to see width and length. Width is the circumference of the shofar, the round of the shofar. The length of the shofar is this way. Mm-hmm. So what happens if there's a crack along the length of the shofar? So the Gemara says, possible is possible. The rochbe, what happens if it's on the width, meaning the circumference, okay? Then the din is as follows. Im nishtai beishit kia, if the shofar still has an amount which has the size of a tkiah, it's going to explain in a second what that means. Kosher, it's kosher. Vimlav posel. Meaning as follows. When it's cracked in the width, we consider that that part of the shofar is not there. So now the question is, if you have left the size of the kosher shofar, because the shofar needs a certain size. So if you have a certain size left, it's kosher, and if not, it's not kosher. So Gemara says, v'kameshir tkiah, what is the size of the kibloah sufficient to kiyah? So Pirushet B'Shem Gamliel, Reb Shem Gamliel said, "Kedei she'echazen lebiyodit, that you should hold it in your hand, v'yira lekan ulekan, and you could still see it on both sides." In other words, basically, it has to be a little bit over a shofar.
Over what?
A tefach. That if you hold it, is going to protrude a little bit on each side. So it says, if from the crack there's still left that amount of the shofar, then it's kosher. Otherwise, it's not.
Well, because you can cut it from the place of the crack?
Huh?
Is it going to cut it from where
it's halachically, you don't cut it. It's halachically considered as if it's cut from there.
Crack has you all the way around?
No. If it's the majority of the circumference. That's what the post can bring down. That if it's less than the majority of the circumference, then it's bottled. It's like it's not there. Okay, then the Gemara says, what happened of the shofar sound was very thin. You know, it's a natural thin sound of the shofar. Or, ke'elva is a very thick sound of a shofar. Oi, tzadet, or it was a hoarse sound of a shofar. It means very, it wasn't a clear ring. The din is kosher. Why? Shekala ke'elis k'shedim b'shofar. All voices are kosher when it comes to the shofar. Mm-hmm. Even if you blow, let's say, a tekiah, it's very hoarse. It's not a, you know, proper sound. It's still kosher. Shochel Avod Shmuel, he sent Shmuel's father the following halacha. If one made a hole in the shofar and blew it, yotze he's yotze. Now, what the Gemara thought, I don't know if you ever see a shofar before they make it. It's full of bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's why. How do you make a shofar when the horn comes off the animal?
Mm-hmm.
It's not empty like we have the hole in the shofar. You have to bore a hole because the it's full of this bone marrow,
mm-hmm.
and you have to put it into immense heat, and then you push it off to work with like a drill to drill a hole and get out all this bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Gemara thought now that what does it mean if you bore a hole in the shofar and blew it? The Gemara thought that if you make a hole at the opening,
mm-hmm.
and as you make the shofar, it's kosher. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Every shofar has to be bored with a hole. Because if you don't make a hole, you can't blow it. So what are you telling me, Achidish, that if you have a hole in the shofar, it's kosher? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, it means as follows. Zachrusei means the marrow of the shofar. What means you made a hole. You didn't get rid of the whole marrow of the shofar. You blew a little hole through the marrow. So basically, the sound is coming from the bone, the shofar marrow, rather than from the shofar itself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you made the hole straight through the marrow, but the marrow is still there. So Mao, the time I would think that it wouldn't be good. Because min b'minech it's a chatzitza between the marrow and the shofar, right? Even though it's the same kind, I would think there's a chatzitza. Kamash melon the chiddush is no, that because it's the same material and they grew together, that's the way it grows. So then it's kosher. So now the Gemara is saying, of course, if you open up the whole inside of the shofar, it's going to be kosher. That's for sure. That's the way you make a shofar.
Mm-hmm.
Here the chiddush is, even if you don't make a hole throughout the entire shofar, just in the bone marrow, it's still kosher. Why? Because it grew together, it's the same material. And min b'minai, in this case, would not be a chatzitza. Does think there's an interesting din that anything that comes from the ocean is not a chatzitza, even if it's out of the ocean.
Mm.
Because the fact that it grew, so to speak, in the ocean, it's not a chatzitza.
Chatzitza for mikveh, I mean.
Yeah, well, that was, or washing to tzidayim. In other words, if somebody went into the ocean and around their body was seaweed, if they got caught in seaweed, that's not a chatzitza for the mikveh.
Or the plug for the ear.
Or if you have sponge from the fish, and you put it into the ear, it's not a chatzitza. Even though it's out of the water, but the fact that it was in the water, it's the same thing as the water.
Mm.
I just think water is not a chatzitza from water, so anything comes from water is not a chatzitza. The same thing the Gemara says, if you have the, inside the shofar is this bone marrow, it's really very hard, because that's the difficulty of making a shofar. In the shofar factories, you have to put it through immense heat to soften it, and then you gotta start banging, to get out all the thing, you have to drill a hole to be able to blow the shofar. So he says, even if you made a hole just through the bone marrow of the shofar, or the shofar marrow, whatever you call it, and it doesn't come directly from the shofar, but it goes through the bone marrow, it's a kosher, because that's considered coming from the shofar itself. But like we learned before, if you plate the inside of the shofar with gold, and you blow it, then it's a chatzitza, because gold is not the shofar. And then the sound is not coming from the shofar, it's coming from the gold, and that's no good. Okay, then the Mishnah continued another din. At the kela teicha bird, if somebody blows shofar in a pit, or le teicha dus, or into a, what's called a cistern, and the Rashi explains it means an over the ground pit. Not a pit in the ground, but like on top of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it says in the Mishnah that if you hear the voice of the shofar, it's kosher. If you hear the echo, it's not kosher. That's what the Mishnah said. And very simple, because you have to hear the voice of the shofar. The echo is not the voice of the shofar. So Amir Ravuna said, Leishanu, this din only applies, Elala'is and Ha'im de Malsfasa Ber, only for those people standing on the edge of the pit. Aval'is and Ha'im de Malsfasa Ber, but those people that are inside the pit, then Yotze de Ayotze. So he says an interesting concept, Rav Huna. Rav Huna says the guys inside the pit are really not only listening to the echo, they're actually listening to the voice of the Shofar. The guy outside the pit, he's hearing the echo. He's basically saying a scientific thing. The guy inside the pit, listen to they hear the Shofar. So what does the Mishnah say? If you heard the voice of the Shofar, you're Yaitzer. What are we talking about? The guys outside the pit, they have to figure out what they heard. Did they hear the echo? Or did they hear the actual sound of the Shofar? But now the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, so we learned in the Braise, Hatekel, Lutecha Ber, somebody blows in a pit, or Lutecha Dus, or inside the cistern is Yotza, Yo Yotza. So Gemara asks, but Tanah Ben Amishnah says, Lo Yotza, you're not Yotza. Mm-hmm. Right? And that Braise says, you are fulfilling your obligation. The Mishnah says, you're not fulfilling your obligation. How could both be right? We must say that what's the answer to answer this contradiction? Because Rav Huna, like Rav Huna says, meaning that if you're inside the pit, then you're listening to the voice of the Shofar. If you're outside the pit, then you're probably listening to the echo, so you're not Yetzer. So therefore, it answers the contradiction very easily, and that shows Shmamino that Rav Huna is right. And the Gemara says Shmamino is right, Rav Huna is right. Okay, next page, Chof Ches. Shama makes us to keep a bird. Now the Braise says another thing. What happens if part of the voice you hear in the pit and part of the voice you hear outside of the pit? And the one is going to explain to him, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What do you mean you hear part of it in the pit, part of it outside of the pit? Yotze yoyotze. Okay? And basically the Gemara is going to say, if you hear a half a kosher voice, yoyotze. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara is going to say as follows. The Braise continues. Mixes tkiya kedem sheyala medashachar. What happens if you hear half the tkiya before dawn? Or mixes tkiya lacha shalab medashachar and half of it after dawn? Lo yotze, you're not yetze. That means as follows. According to Halacha, the Torah says you have to blow shofar during the day. What is the definition of day? From when to when? So there's a big argument. Okay, bottom line is lechatchila, you have to hear it after sunrise, because mm-hmm. that's day according to all opinions. Mm-hmm. What happens if you heard it after dawn, which is 72 minutes before sunrise? So b'diavad yoyetsa. I mean, to give a simple example, if 7 o'clock is sunrise, okay, so 72 minutes is an hour and 12 minutes, so it's 12 minutes to 6, right?
So what means half a call, you know?
I know it's hard to figure out exactly what does it mean, because it takes a second. What is it?
Yeah, but what happened?
But when the Torah says a time, you know, if the Torah says 6 o'clock is dawn, let's say, yeah? If you blow 5:59 and 3/4, you're not yet to the mitzvah. You blow 10 seconds later, you did do the mitzvah. Okay, the Gemara is, how realistic this case is, it can be very realistic, because, you know, especially in the olden times, they didn't have exact clocks like we have today, mm-hmm. To know. But the bottom line is, the Gemara is saying an interesting difference, though. And the Gemara is going to ask, what is the difference? If you hear the sound of the shofar in the pit, you're yetzer. If you hear the sound of the shofar outside of the pit, you're not yetzer, because we're assuming you hear the echo. But, so the Gemara says, the Braise says, what happens if you hear half in the pit, half out of the pit? You're yetzer. So the Gemara, but then the Braise continues. What happens if you hear half before dawn and half after dawn? You're not yetzer. So Amar Al Abaye. So Abaye said, oh, you know what? I skipped a few lines before. Mm-hmm. I guess go back. Mm-hmm. Three lines in the bottom. Ikadram el Amir. Some people even ask it as a question, not as a that it's used as a proof to Rav Huna, but it's actually a question. One Amish just says that tekel the techa ber the techa dus lo yotza. I batanya in the Bryce says yotza. So I'm ravuna kana is named the masvaseber kana is named the beber. It's the same thing. The Gemara answers one is the guys in the pit. You yotza the guys out to the pit. You're not. I'm rabba shema minos. The Shmami says for me. I mean not shema minos. I'm rabba. Rabba said a din. The shaman mixes tekel beber or mixes tekel masvaseber. If you hear half in the pit, half outside of the pit, yotza. Half before dawn, half after dawn, lo yotza. That's what Rabbi's din is. Amalei Abaye Maishno, what's the difference? Maishno Hasam, what's the difference in the case? By before dawn and after dawn, to be in a kula tkiya b'chiyuva, where the whole tkiya has to be in an obligated time, v'leka, and it's not there. Hachaname b'in a kula tkiya b'chiyuva v'leka. The same thing by the pit. You need the whole tkiya in a kosher way. But once you're outside of the pit, you're not yotza. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. If you need to hear the whole tekiah properly, and that's why if you're half before dawn and half after dawn, you're not yaitza, so why is it if you're half in the pit and half out of the pit, you are yaitza? Again, half of it's not proper. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Hashta, what's the comparison? And the Gemara answers a very interesting answer. He says as follows: Hosom laila lavs man chiyuvahu. Klal, nighttime is not at all an obligation in shayfet. But hacha ber mokum chiyuvahu leisneim dem beberd. But the pit is an obligated place for the people in the pit. In other words, it's a very fine line. He's saying. He says as follows: If half of it is a completely no good, and half is good, then you're not yaitza. But if half is technically good, it's just you're standing in the wrong place, and then half is good, so then you're yaitza. You can't compare something which is not obligated at all to a thing which technically is good, you just happen to be in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm. So that whole concept of before dawn, after dawn doesn't apply, because before dawn you don't blow shofar anyway.
Yeah, but he says a night shofar is not good for anybody. So therefore this half a shofar that you blew at night is no good, period. It's not a good voice, no matter for whom. When you blow in a pit, it's technically a good sound for the people in the pit. So the sound is a kosher sound. So therefore, if you heard half of it in the pit and half of it out of the pit, you're yaitza. Now, the Gemara, how did Abai understand Rabbi's din? Abai understood Rabbi's din, it's speaking that the guy was standing in the pit blowing, a guy was standing out of the pit, where he hears only the echo, and in the middle of the blowing, the guy from the pit climbs out. That's the way. Well, because Rabbi says you hear half in the pit, half out of the pit. So how does it work? Begashmias, what's the case? So Abai understood, and that's why Abai asked the question he asked. Abai understood that Rabbi is speaking as follows: the guy's in the pit blowing. There's a guy outside the pit, which Gemara said before, because he hears the echo, not the original voice, he's not Yaitzin. So the guy starts blowing in the pit, and then when in the middle of blowing, in the middle of the tekiah, he goes out of the pit. So now the guy outside the pit is hearing a proper sound. So Rabbi said, that's Yaitzin. Okay, so Abaye says, this is half kosher, half not kosher. Why is it different than the dawn? So Rabbi says, there's a difference. This shofar was kosher in the pit. Except for you, it wasn't kosher because you didn't hear the ear, you heard the echo. I'll give you an example. If a guy blew shofar and the guy had earplugs and he didn't hear it, and in the middle of the shofar he took it out and now he hears it, then he would be yetzer. Because when the guy blew the shofar was a kosher blowing. It was a kosher blowing. When you blow inside a pit, it's a kosher blowing. For those people that hear the shofar, it's a kosher blowing. Ah, you were outside the pit and you didn't hear an echo. That doesn't disqualify the blowing.
So we're talking about being kosher is having to do with the guy outside. But we don't get.
There's
about
two aspects.
Outside.
There's the. I'll give you another example.
The shofar blowing itself being kosher, or the guy hearing it half kosher, half not kosher.
There's a mitzvah to hear shofar. Yeah. By the way, the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, not blow the shofar. That's why the bracha is not to blow shofar. What bracha do you say in Rosh Hashanah? L'shmaya kol shofar. To hear the shofar, right? If a kid, 10 years old, is an excellent blower, let's say, and a kid blows the shofar, yeah? Obviously you're not yetzer. Correct? The question is, why not? I heard the shofar. What's the difference? Who blew it? If there's a mitzvah to blow, so the blower has to be obligated. But if the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, I heard the shofar. What's the difference? Who blew it? The halacha is still no good. Why? Because when the kid blew it, it's not a halachic shofar blowing. Because he's a kid. Even though the mitzvah is to hear it, but you have to hear a halachic kosher blowing. Therefore, for instance, if a guy blew it at night, it could be a fabulous shofar blowing. Yeah, but the fact that it's at night is not a kosher voice, a kosher sound. When the guy blows in the pit, he blew a kosher sound. You didn't hear it, that's your problem. It's not the blower's problem. The blowing was kosher. Because if you stick earplugs in your ears and you didn't hear it, that doesn't mean nobody else in the room is yaitzer because you didn't hear the shofar.
The one that didn't hear it is not yours.
The one that didn't hear it, not because the blowing was no good, because he didn't hear. Therefore, based on this Gemara, if in the middle the guy took out his earplugs and heard the proper length of a tekiah, he's yaitzer.
He's yaitzer for what? Since he didn't hear all of it, or is it yaitzer for half of it?
No. What happens if you have to blow tekiah shvarim to not tekiah, right? And the, right away at the beginning, the guy's blowing a tekiah, okay? And then you had earplugs right at the beginning, and you took them out. So you're hearing this from the beginning of the shofar blowing.
If you hear half of the radios.
No. Well, it depends how much you hear. There's a whole argument. What is the minimal that you can hear?
More realistic, if somebody walks in the middle of shofar blowing.
Correct. Correct. It would also be the same Shiloh. How much did he hear? Is he yaitzer or not? Yeah.
Depends what late he comes.
It depends how late he comes and what he hears.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wait, 12-year-old boy, is it also because he himself is not obligated in the mitzvah, that doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Because he's not obligated.
Right. And therefore his blowing is not a blowing. Even though he could technically be blowing better than the adult. But it has to come from somebody who hears it.
Since it's a mitzvah, he said bracha on it, so it has to be done properly.
Right.
Can he?
But Moshe, there's a din. What happens if I stole a shofar, and I blew it and you heard my blowing? You're yaitzer, I'm not. Because I did an aveda. Right? My mitzvah came to an aveda. But you didn't do any aveda. And the mitzvah is to listen to the shofar, to the sound.
Exception is in lulav and estron, or not?
Yeah. Because lulav has to be yours. It's a separate din.
Oh, so.
Shofar doesn't have to be your shofar. You can borrow somebody's shofar. You don't even have, you can listen to shofar. Lulav has to, the Torah says, Lokachtam lochem, it has to be yours. It's a unique din of lulav that it has to be yours.
The guy who stole it, gave it to you as a present temporarily?
It depends if you acquired it or not. If you acquired it. The matter of fact, is going to go talk about this soon.
Maybe.
There's a question. If I forbid having any benefit from you whatsoever, people used to do it. You get angry, you say, swear, I will have nothing to do with you, I will have never any benefit from you. Yeah? Can I be yaitzer with your shofar? You're blowing shofar in the shul, let's say. Can I be yaitzer from your shofar blowing? Because am I benefiting from you or not? Is that called benefit? The whole thing, it's just in the middle of the page here. You know, how what's the halacha with that? So Abaya, I mean, so Rabbi answered Abaya, it's the wrong liquid. So Rabbi answered Abaya, you can't compare it. Over here by night, it's not a kosher tkiya for anybody. So therefore, if you're half at night, half during the day, you're not yaitza. But half in the pit, half out of the pit, it's still a kosher shefer, because the guys in the pit are would be yaitza with that. So Gemara says, Lameimer, should we say, the Sovet, Abba, that Abba holds, Shama saved tkiya, Vilei tchila tchila, that if you, Lacheda, but there's another problem over here. You're only hearing the end of the tkiya, and not the whole tkiya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the question is, from Rabba, if Rabba said, if you hear it inside the pit and half outside of the pit, you're yaitza. Even though the first half, you weren't yaitza. Which implies that if you hear only half the tkiya, you're yaitza, right? So Gemara says, the Meimah, should we say that Rabba holds, Shama save tkiya, below tkiya's tkiya, that if you hear the end of the tkiya, without the beginning of the tkiya, yaitza. And therefore, Memela be understood the opposite way. Tchilas tkiya b'leisav tkiya. If you hear the beginning without the end, you're also yaitza, right? That if you only half, Tashma, come in and ask you a question. It says, Taka b'dishayna, what happens if a person blew the first tkiya of the sound? Normally, Omashach b'shniya k'shtayim. And the end, the tkiya at the end of the set, he blew as long as two. I'll explain in a second. Ein b'yodei ala achas is only considered one blowing. Okay, Marshall, you blow, to give you an example, you blow tkiya shvarm tura tkiya, right? Then you have to blow tkiya shvarm tkiya, right? So the guy blew a normal tkiya, then he blew shvarm tkiya, and then the second tkiya, really you're supposed to blow a tkiya, then another tkiya right away, right? What do you blow? Tkiya shvarm tura tkiya, then tkiya shvarm tura tkiya, right? So the second tkiya, instead of making one tekiah stop, another tekiah, he blew one long one. Mm-hmm. Could that one long one be counted as two? So the Gemara is asking, according to Rabbi, it should be kosher. Because it's like you hear half for the first half, for the end of the first part, and then the second half as the beginning of the first part, the next part. So, but why does it say over there you only have one tekiah, you're not yaitza? So Rabbi answers an interesting answer. Psukit kiosim adodi loy peskinen. We can't split one into two. If you hear half, you're yaitza. But you can't say one is two.
Mm-hmm.
That means Rabbi answers very simply. If a person blows a long tkiya, it's one tkiya. You want to make it two because you need an ending tkiya. And then another beginning tekiah. You can't make one into two. What do you break it in half? How do you break it in half if the guy's continuing? But if you heard only half and the half was long enough,
mm-hmm.
It was long enough, then you're yaitza. Let's say a tekiah has to be, let's say for argument's sake, 5 seconds. Yeah? You need to hear a tekiah. The amount of a tekiah is, let's say, 5 seconds. So if somebody blew a 10-second tkiya, you can't say he's counted as two, because the fact is he blew one.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if a guy blew a 10-second tkiya, and I heard either the first half of it or the second half of it, then is it kosher? Because I'm not making one into two. I heard a 5-second tkiya. So that's kosher. So that's what Rabbi says, if you hear half in the pit, half outside of the pit, and half of that, what you heard was kosher amount, 5 seconds, you're yaitza the mitzvah. Because the fact is, you heard a 5-second tekiah. That's fine. But to say that one tekiah for 10 seconds should be counted as 2 5-second tekiahs, where do you get that? You can't say that. If it's one, it's one. It's not two. So that's why the Braisa, Rabbi explained, that's why the Braisa says that if you blew one long tekiah instead of two, it's not good. You only have one tekiah. It's counted as one, not as two. You can make one into two. But a half, if you heard the proper amount, is good.
So what happens in that case?
You have to blow another one.
Yeah, but if, what if the person doesn't? The person doesn't know to blow properly.
Then you're not Yetzer.
The whole,
it could be you're not Yetzer, yeah?
So someone that doesn't split it and just takes one connection.
It could be you're not Yetzer, depending how he did it, when he did it, you know, b'dieved, whatever. But yeah, you're not Yetzer. Because the Torah says you need a tekiah before and a tekiah after. Every set has a tekiah before and a tekiah after, right?
Yes.
Any set, whether it's tekiah shvam through a tekiah, there's a tekiah before and after. Tekiah shvam tekiah is a tekiah before and after. Tekiah through a tekiah is a tekiah before and after. Right?
Yes.
And like we learned, the reason for that is we just don't know what a trua is. Remember the Torah says you have to blow trua. And the Torah says the word trua three times. So we learn you have to blow three truas. We just don't know what a trua is.
Which sound is trua?
Right. Is it what we call shvarim? Is it what we call trua? Or is it shvarim trua together? Then the Gemara learns you need a tekiah before and after each one. So that's why we blow all those blowings. We blow tekiah, shvarim trua, because maybe that's a trua tekiah three times. Tekiah shvarim tekiah three times. Tekiah trua tekiah three times. Okay, and you're not allowed to make a separation between the trua and the tekiah. So therefore, you have to blow all the sets, or else why don't you just blow tekiah shvarim trua tekiah and you got it? Because if shvarim is the real one, then the second trua is a separation between the shvarim and the second tekiah, and that's no good.
When are we going to demonstrate this,
What? You should just blow shofar. Rosh Hashanah. That's why, because of all these complications, it says in Halacha that the one that blows shofar has to know the Halacha of what's good and what's not good. Because sometimes, if you make a mistake in the middle, you have to go to the beginning of the set. Understand? Sometimes you have to go to the beginning of the set. Because if what you blew was a sound, but it was an incorrect sound, you're making separations. And that's no good. You have to go to the beginning of the set again. And then it depends what the sounding is like. Like everything else, it's complicated if you don't know it. If you know it, it's not complicated. Right, like everything else.
But even if you know it,
things in your field to me sound weirdly complicated, right? To you, it's not complicated because that's what you know. You know, to me, it sounds like who knows what. But if you know it, it's not complicated, right? In your business, I mean, whatever the business is, in your things, it's not complicated. How do you do this? Wow, it's so complicated. It's not complicated. You just do it. You know. I'll never forget the first time I came to LA, all the way at the beginning. I was in my mashiach for a day. A guy said to me, maybe you'll do a wedding. So I said, I never did a wedding before, you know, I mean, I need, I can't. And he was a doctor. He says, listen, I'm a doctor. First time you look, and our surgery is done, the second time you do it. He said, you never saw a wedding in your life. He says to him, you never saw a wedding in your life. First thing he said, so now do it. I didn't do it anyway, but that's beside it. Mm-hmm. Then it's complicated until you learn what to do. Then it's not complicated anymore.